Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Gerrymandering Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 12, 2014, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Alabama Legislative Black Caucus v. Alabama, which was consolidated with Alabama Democratic Conference v. Alabama. These cases ask whether Alabama's legislative redistricting plans classify black voters by race in violation of the 14th Amendment by intentionally packing them into districts designed to maintain supermajority percentages produced when 2010 census data are applied to the 2001 majority black districts. To discuss the case, we have Mark Braden, who is of counsel at Baker and Hosteller. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Braden.
Well, this morning I'm going to attempt to summarize the Alabama Democratic Conference versus Alabama, a case that was argued on November 12th in the Supreme Court, and we're awaiting its decision, as are many folks, because it appears that its decision is having a broad influence on a variety of other cases that are now before the Supreme Court. The case arises in a dispute, not unusual, a dispute over the redistricting of a state legislature. They're pretty much universal. There aren't many states that can redraw their lines and not have some litigation. Virtually all the states had litigation over legislative and or congressional lines in the last cycle, which is, again, not surprising because the issues are somewhat murky and the stakes, who sits in the state legislature or who sits in Congress, are high. So it's not surprising that it's sort of the lawyer's delight and there's lots of litigation. In this context, we have for the first time ever, the Republican Party was the majority party in the Alabama state legislature following the decennial census. So the pin to redraw the lines, or in the 21st century, the cursor for the computer, was in the hands of the Republican Party. So, not surprisingly, the Republican Party drew a plan that was attractive to the incumbent Republican members. There was a series of litigations over it with a variety of different claims. The actual case that made it to the Supreme Court is the consolidation of two of those cases. These cases, because they're statewide redistricting cases, are initially handled in the federal system through a three-judge panel. So at the three-judge panel level, one of the few sort of what's left of the three-judge jurisdictional provisions, the three-judge federal panel upheld the plan against claims that it violated the Equal Protection Clause and it violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. These cases were consolidated on appeal, but the Supreme Court did not accept the appeal on the Section 2 so-called vote dilution claim. And what's before the court in this particular case is what's known as a Shaw claim. Now, what is that? It is basically a claim under the Equal Protection Clause that the predominant factor in the drawing of a legislative plan was race. And under the Shaw line of cases, this means that the plan would, because race is the predominant factor, be a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. In that case, there would be a requirement for the legislature to go back and redraw the lines. The Shaw cases arise, not surprisingly, as much of our voting rights jurisprudence arises and constitutional equal protection in the context of elections arises from North Carolina. The actual originating case, Shaw case, involved the drawing of congressional plan, which had districts which were probably the most outrageous to the eye of any congressional districts in American history, with large sections of districts connecting pieces together down the interstate highways. So looking at that plan, the lower court and the Supreme Court decided in North Carolina that the predominant factor, by linking these districts together, going down the middle of the interstate, was race, and it was invalid. There have been a variety of other cases following that. Ending up, the last case where the Supreme Court has dealt with this was Hunt v. Cromartie. So this case is the Alabama Democratic Conference case. Is there's no way to explain it simply. It's very complicated. But in reality, it's a Shaw claim as to whether or not the plan that was drawn by the Republicans was drawn primarily on race, or whether it was drawn primarily on political factors or other factors. So that's, we're looking at it in that sort of context. There's really three ways the case could come down, and they're not too complicated in conceptually. One, Alabama wins, and it wins because either the court decides there's not a Shaw violation, that race was not the predominant factor in drawing of the lines, and that partisan was, or some other factor was, such as minimizing population deviations, or they decide that although race may have been a predominant factor in it, Section 5 and the state's belief that they had to draw these lines in the manner that they did draw them was a compelling state interest in this process. So that's most certainly, under those scenarios, Alabama wins. Alabama could lose because the court could accept the Shaw claim and take the position that these districts were drawn with race being the predominant factor, predominating over either partisan considerations or traditional redistricting considerations such as population equality or political subdivisions or incumbency issues. Or there's, of course, a third way, the so-called off-ramp, which would be the court could do what the Department of Justice requested, which is to send the matter back for further fact-finding at the district court level, or deal with this case on a standing issue and dismiss it without reaching the merits. Frankly, during oral argument, although the court itself in the argument in the sort of the pleading stage asked the standing issue be addressed, it did not appear during oral argument that that was an argument going anywhere, and it didn't appear to be a lot of support for taking what I, again, would call the off-ramp and sending this back to the district court for additional fact-finding. But it most certainly is possible. The sort of underlying political situation here, I think, is important to understand. It is, of course, absolutely impossible to consider redistricting cases without thinking about and analyzing in the political context. It'd be like having a cherry pie with no cherries. It'd be impossible. This is politics, and the drawing of the lines is a very political process, no matter who does it, and has enormous political effects. When the situation in Alabama, and really, frankly, in much of the country, is a little bit sort of counterintuitive in the sense that by drawing more majority-minority districts, it actually generally politically helps Republicans and works to the benefit of the Republican Party, not because these districts select Republicans, but simply because it makes available fewer black Democratic voters in districts that might elect white Democrats. Through much of the 80s and 90s, the Republican Party in the South were allied with the blacks in the South, not allied on many issues, but allied in the redistricting process because it was the outs against the ins. It's, of course, changing now a little bit because the Republicans are no longer the outs, and blacks throughout the South are no longer, sort of looking in from the outside on the political process. So it's a little bit like reading tea leaves as to what's going to happen in this case. I think a few predictions are likely to be successful. The prediction that it's not going to be unanimous is a pretty easy prediction. That it's going to be an extremely fractured court is probably correct, too. I would not, given the different views of the members of courts on these issues, and could spend a lot of time sort of parsing the tea leaves on Kennedy's position and Justice Roberts and Scalia's position on these. It does, you know, it, so I expect to see a fractured court, and how clear the guidance will be is unknown. But it does seem more likely than not, as we sit here today, that Alabama will in some way, shape, or form win. And the reasons why that seems to be the case is the Supreme Court has held over two other matters which raise very similar issues. One, a congressional case, the Page case from Virginia, and one, a redistricting case from Alabama, Harris versus Arizona Redistricting Commission, has held those over. They are up and were conferenced, and they've been held over for a number of weeks. The only rationale for holding over those two cases is the belief that the Alabama Democratic Conference case is likely to affect them. And given their posture, if it was likely to affect them in the manner in which Alabama were to lose, then those cases, more likely than not, would have been summarily either affirmed or reversed based upon their posture. So it seems likely, the best you can read the tea leaves, it seems more likely than not that the state of Alabama will in some way, shape, or form, either clearly or unclearly, depending, you know, with the jurisprudence that comes from this case, is likely to be, its plans to be reaffirmed, and that will have a significant effect sort of going forward in the post-Section 5 world. Important cases are sort of held up now based upon this. This probably will give at least a multiplicity of directions if we have four or five or even six different opinions in this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.